Brethren,
we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is laid out, bless the Spirit.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." If there's a little bit of a whistle in my voice this morning, it's because my lower plate is in a cup of water at home. There's a reason I had to leave it. I can't bear it in my mouth. So having said that, perhaps that explains why there's a little bit of a whistle in my voice. Paul had a healthy attitude toward the thought of dying. Most people might think it was a strange attitude, and it's certainly not what you would expect, but it was still a healthy attitude. Yes, sir. Paul said he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He had a desire to die and to leave this world. But he goes on to say that it's more needful for these Philippians for him to stay around for their benefit. Then he went on to say, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. The first time I discovered that I had cancer, the doctor took the biopsy. And when he came in the room, there was no doubt what the report was going to be. When he came through the door, he had that practicing for a funeral look that they get when they're about to drop the news on you. He sat there for a long time shuffling papers before he made eye contact. And then he finally said, "Mr. Hunt, I hate to tell you, but it is cancer." And then he went back to shuffling papers. And after a while, he looked up and he said, "This doesn't seem to be bothering you." I said, "I don't know why it should. It's not my problem." That's not what he expected. "What do you mean, not your problem?" I said, "The Lord put me here to preach. And if he wants any more preaching out of me, it's up to him to take care of this." And I said, "If he doesn't have any more preaching for me to do, I don't see any real need to hang around getting in the way." I don't think he ever got the point. That was 30 years ago. And maybe the Lord still has a little more preaching for me to do because I'm still around. And having this confidence, he says, "I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." I'm counting on being around for a little while anyway. Now, bear in mind that when Paul said that, he had already had a view of what heaven is like. He had had a view that I've never had. He had had a view that you've never had. When he was writing to the Corinthians, he said, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." And he said, "I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it's not lawful," not possible actually, "for a man to utter." Now, I don't think there's any doubt that the man Paul was talking about was Paul himself. There was a time when Paul was caught up in the body, out of the body. He didn't know which way it was. But he was caught up into heaven itself. And he saw things, he heard things that are not possible to tell. No wonder. No wonder he was anxious to go back. I never have experienced what Paul experienced, but I'm anxious to see what he saw. I'm anxious to hear what he heard. I'm excited to know that I'm closer to that day when I expect to see the face of my Lord than I ever have been before. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. That expression is in the last chapter of the last book that Paul wrote to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Now, when Paul wrote that, he expected to be dead before very long. I can relate to that. I'll turn 80 this year. You know, numbers can have an effect on your thinking. I never will forget the day I turned 35 and I multiplied that by 2 and it came out 70. That's been a long time, but I haven't felt the same since that day. But those people who run the numbers tell me that the life expectancy of an 80-year-old white male in America is about 5 years. And that counts the time of his final illness. I look around me at my brethren in the ministry. Counted up here a while back. And all but about a dozen of those preachers who were preaching for the old Baptists, when I joined the old Baptists, are gone. And the rest of us are dropping like flies. Elder Tolley was buried last Sunday. This past Tuesday, I drove to Arkansas for Elder Hartzell Casey's funeral on Wednesday. While I was in Arkansas, I went by to see Elder Charles Sandage, because I figured if I didn't see him that day, I'd probably never see him again. On the way home, I stopped to visit with Brother T.L. Webb in the nursing home. Stopped to visit with Brother Lois Fuller. I have an idea that may be the last time I see you, one of those brethren. Brother Raymond Lord, just barely hanging on. Brother Joe Hildreth, just barely hanging on. Brother Kenneth Robbins. Some of the others of my generation are, we're not going to be around that long. Brother Edward Cagle, he's in his upper 80s. Gene Thomas. I've stood here and named very nearly every one of the preachers that were preaching for the old Baptists when I joined 53 years ago in about 35 minutes. It'll be 53 years to the minute. First Sunday in January 1963, when I turned my back on all of my previous religious connections, walked down the aisle and offered myself to the old Baptist. Look back on all those years, it's been a time of hills and valleys. There have been times when I wondered how I was going to survive. Times when I was absolutely terrified by the prospect. But I thank God for it all. I've run the numbers. It's not going to be long. I was in Nashville 3 or 4 weeks ago, filled in for Brother Lawrence, Brother John Tidwell, Donald Drayton, their wives, and I were having lunch. Brother Tidwell made the comment to the others. He said, "You know, Harold Hunt is the only preacher I know that's excited about the fact he's going to die." Well, I'm not sure that's exactly right, but I'm excited. I'm excited about the fact that it's not going to be very long. The closer I get to the end of my way, the more often I just close my eyes. I close my eyes and think, what'll it be like? In just a short time, if I live to be 90, 10 years is not all that long. These last 10 years didn't last hardly any time. But just to think, I've been preaching about it. I started to say ever since I can remember, but not quite that long. I was 15, so I can remember some things before that. All of my life I've been talking about it, thinking about it, and now to realize that I'm almost there. What's the song we sing sometime? Palms of victory. What a day. What a day that will be. Some of you remember Elder Lonnie Mazingo Sr. He used to come to our Smoky Mountain meeting. He always wanted to sing that song. What a day. What a day that will be. Now, I'm expecting to be around for a little while longer. I'm not expecting to leave here today nor tomorrow. Fact about it, I've got enough work laid out before me that I'd have to live to be 100 to finish. I asked permission. I laid some books out there by Elder Claude Casey. I've republished them, and I start out the morning printing more. If you have some friends that wonder, what do you Primitive Baptists believe? Take one of those books. Take them all. I'll send you some more. Give it to your friends. They explain the doctrine of grace, explain election, predestination better than I ever could. I've always been one to set goals. And I've set myself a goal. I wanted to give away 2,000 of those books. I'd like to give away 4,000 of them if I can find some 4,000 people willing to take them. Now, considering the numbers I've been talking about, 5 years, 6 years life expectancy, there's a very good chance I won't be around long enough to finish the job. That's exciting too. It's exciting too. That even though I may not be around long enough to finish the job, if I don't, I expect sometime between now and then, sometime between now and then, to see the face of my Lord the way I see your face just now. And I expect to see on the face of my Lord the expression I see on some of your faces just now. I look forward to that day when all the redeemed will be gathered around the throne of God. You know, I've heard people debate all of my life. Will we know each other over there? Why would we know it? I'm dumb enough already. I'd hate to think I'll be dumber over there than I am down here. I'd hate to think that I'll know less over there than I already know. Now, if somebody gets consolation in thinking that in heaven we're going to be a bunch of nameless, faceless nobodies, you can have that thought if you want it. That doesn't give any comfort to me. Now, one thing I think confuses people. People get the idea that if we know each other over there, we'll have the same partiality, the same prejudice over there that we do down here. Now, that's part of me, my partiality and my prejudice and all of that. I expect to leave that in the ground. The Lord redeemed me from that. He didn't redeem that with me. There's a lot about me that I expect to leave in the ground. There's a lot about me I wish I could send on. There's a lot of characteristics about me that my friends wish I could send on ahead. No, I expect to know those over there I've known down here. I expect to know people over there I've never known down here. You know, I look forward to the time when I can look up old Elijah. You remember how the ravens fed him? He'd have starved to death if God hadn't sent the ravens. God's taken care of every last one of us. I look forward. Look forward to meeting that old boy and swapping stories with him. I've got some stories I can tell. I'd like to swap my stories for his stories. I think of so many of my friends that have gone on before. Brother Raymond Lord said to me once several years ago, he had a lot of funerals. He said, "Brother Hunt, I've followed so many of my friends to the grave. It seems like I've got more friends over there than I do down here." I think of so many that have gone on that have meant so much to me. I want to see them again, shake their hand. We leave all of our prejudice in the ground, but you see, we love other people over there that we never met. Yeah. With the same love.
Amen.
Somebody says, "Well, I love my mama over there like I do down here." You'll love her more over there than you do down here. You see, you're not capable of loving down here the way you will be over there. Right. In our very best moments, we're beset by pride and malice and concerns of this world. But you see, you'll have that same love. That same love for folks that you'd never... I said I wasn't going to take long. Come ahead, brother.
Amen.